This week, Sally and I start our summer software showcase in an attempt to keep things a little bit abbreviated this summer. We have failed miserably, but we hope you enjoy the show anyway. Have some great picks, some wonderful community feedback, all that and more coming up next on the Wells Tech Podcast. This is Wells Tech, a podcast on the Streams Media Network sponsored by Wells, Wisconsin Evangelical Lutheran Synod. Your show hosts are Martin Spriggs and Sally Draper. Join the conversation at wellstech.wells.net. Welcome back, everybody. This is Martin Spriggs with the Wells Tech Podcast. As you're well aware, this is episode 240 for Wednesday, June 13th, 2012. And welcome back after a nice refreshing vacation, I assume, Sally Draper. Good morning, Sally.
Good morning, Martin. Happy to be back in the podcasting seat. And yeah, it was a refreshing vacation. Yep. Spent some time in Wisconsin.
Yeah, that's always a vacation.
Definitely. Right. Trip to Camp Phillip, just a really wonderful week, beautiful weather, and kind of just some quiet time being alone and enjoying the scenery and all that the camp has to offer. It was great.
Pleasant spring seems to be ebbing over here into summer, and Debbie and I went up to Door County just kind of to celebrate a little belated wedding anniversary, and just had perfect weather up there. Did some hiking, took a little boat tour, ate a lot, had a nice long weekend. So back ready to go with another podcast. It's been a couple weeks because of your travels. You know, span the week. Last week we did a little bit of pre-recording, and through the magic of technology we were able to release it at the appropriate time. But now we've kind of got to find our groove again.
And we got a brand new groove to find.
What better way to find a groove than to start a new one?
That's right.
Our longtime listeners know that usually over the summer we try and do a little bit of a series, some kind of special thing, maybe an abbreviated topic, and that's no different this summer. We've done things like Wells Tech Goodness, and we did a road trip, I think, last summer. And what are we doing this summer, Sally?
This summer, we're focusing on alliteration. We've got the Summer Software Showcase.
SSS.
Three S's.
Yes.
That's
summer
right.
Software
and
Showcase.
So the vision of this is that we would focus on a particular piece of software each week and just kind of dig into it, explain it a little bit, talk about five different ministry uses for the particular piece of software, so that maybe if you aren't using it, it might be something you want to investigate further. Or if you are using it, hopefully we can share some new ideas for how it can make your ministry efforts more effective.
Yeah, and this is kind of fun. It's like a pick of the week, except it's a joint pick and we go a little bit more in depth. And the show is abbreviated, and hopefully it'll be shorter than our regular ones, although it doesn't always work that way. We will do our picks of the week, and we'll have listener feedback as well, and some music at the end, of course. But that's about it. And we would certainly always welcome feedback on the topic that we're talking about, the showcase topic, or anything else about the show, anything that you've found maybe that we could consider. The list is not complete by any stretch. We're not that well prepared. So we are open to any suggestions on the summer software showcase lineup. If you would like to share, that would be great. So we started out with a topic that's all about Sally, because Sally is a big TechSmith fan. And this first software showcase focus is on a TechSmith product called Jing. What's Jing, Sally?
Jing is a free screencasting tool that you can download from the TechSmith website. It's at techsmith.com/Jing. And you can use it to do screen captures of images, what's on your computer screen, save it as an image, add annotations to it. But more importantly, in the way that I use it most often, is to make short screencast videos. So if you want to record yourself manipulating your computer and explaining along the way, whatever's on your computer screen gets turned into a video, and very quickly and easily you can share that video.
Yep.
And
now, there is a time limit, right?
That's right. I said short. They have to be 5 minutes or less. So for free, you get 5 minutes or less, which is a pretty good amount of time, depending on what you want to accomplish. And you could always make a series of videos if you had something longer to share.
Mm-hmm. So when you press, I assume there's like a record button. And when you press that, things are recorded on the screen. Can you capture a portion of the screen or the entire screen? How does that work?
Right. When you kick it off, you have to choose between whether you want to capture an image or a video. And then you get basically crosshairs. So you drag across your screen. You can select a particular window. You can select your entire desktop if you want to. Whatever portion of the screen you want to record, then you get kind of a countdown, 3, 2, 1 kind of thing, so that you can clear your throat and be prepared to get started. And then you're live. You just start recording. If you make a mistake, there's a pause button. If you need to pause and change something about your screen, you can stop mid-video and readjust things, or you could just stop it and start again. Mm-hmm. You know, very easy to do, not intimidating at all. Just whatever you're used to manipulating on your screen, it just captures that as you go.
So once you've recorded it, what do you do with it? What options do you have as far as sharing that? Obviously, you can save it for yourself, but the idea is to share this with other people.
That's correct. And probably the easiest and most integrated option, if it's a video, is to use another free TechSmith product. Don't you love TechSmith and all their free products? They have a website called screencast.com, and they'll give you 2 gig of storage there for free. And integrated within Jing is a button to just quickly upload to your screencast account. So just like that, your video is hosted on the web in this free service. And it returns a link to the video that you can paste into, Facebook or Twitter or into an email. However, whatever way you want to share your video, you can make use of the link that they provide for you.
Mm-hmm. And this is available on Mac and PC. And as you mentioned, it's free. It can load, when you start your computer, or it can load on demand just when you need it. What about if you wanted to do something a little bit more, let's say, detailed?
Longer than 5 minutes?
Yeah, either longer than 5 minutes. Or if you wanted to include your own video, let's say a capture from your own webcam. Or if you wanted to do some editing with transitions and those kinds of things, can Jing do that?
Nope. Jing is pretty much straight out of the box, you record and
upload. It's pretty straight. It's a single purpose concept.
Exactly. Five-minute video. Okay. But TechSmith does have a pay-for product called Camtasia Studio, which is very robust. We'll do all those things and more, Martin. And so, and you can even feed your Jing videos into Camtasia Studio. So, And I should mention that recently, another TechSmith product, Snagit, added screencasting to their capabilities as well. So it had been traditionally a screen capture and image editing software, and now it has screencasting as well. So if you pay for the Snagit product, you get screencasting along for the ride too. But they're all about capturing what's on your screen, either as images or as video. And just kind of a progressive stair-step kind of capabilities as you get into their paid products, Snagit and Camtasia.
And I'm sure there are all kinds of nice tutorials and help videos that they provide. TechSmith is really good at that.
They are. The fact
imagine
that they
that.
exist to provide a video tool means that they want to showcase their tool with great tutorials on how to use it. So we'll definitely include links in the show notes to their tutorials. There's one about taking your very first screen capture. If you want to just get a flavor for how Gene works, if you watch that video, you'll get a good idea of what the interface is like with Gene. It's kind of a yellow sun kind of icon, and it floats up to the top of your screen. You can have it load automatically when you start your computer, or you can just open the software when you want to use it, and it'll kind of sit up at the top of your screen and be available to you whenever you want to make a capture.
Great. So let's get down to the nuts and bolts and kind of the meat of the summer software showcase, our ministry uses. So we're not just picking cool things that we like to use, but we're trying to pick things that have specific ministry applications. As you mentioned at the top of the show, we're going to pick five, and sometimes there's more. We've kind of ordered these. So what would be ministry use number one for a product like Gene? And there are others too. Gene isn't the only one out there, but how would you use it in a ministry setting?
Right off the bat, it came to mind to use it to make a tour of your website. Mm-hmm. So maybe a site visitor would want to be able to find things easily or whatever. You could record a little 2 or 3 minute welcome to St. John's Lutheran Church .com website, and here's what you'll find here. Mm-hmm. And just kind of walk your site visitors through all the different resources you have available on your site.
Right. And I know a lot of congregations now are creating their own intranet. Some of them are using Google Apps, and that's not always the easiest to navigate as well. So you could really screencast anything that would be a quick step-by-step, this is how you do it, versus maybe the traditional, you know, written directions, click here, click there, click here, you know, look in the upper right, et cetera, et cetera. This is just kind of an easy way, and you don't have to really script it. You just kind of do it, and you narrate as you go. So obviously you need a microphone, you know, that's attached to your system, and you want to make sure that you have good audio. But I think that's a great application. Any kind of tour of a website would be great.
Absolutely. And I guess one thing I thought of was that and I lost it.
You just thought of it.
Doggone it. Okay, it'll come back to me. Spilling over from what you're describing with your Google Sites example, yep, is that you may want to do internal software demos.
Right.
So our second ministry use is just showing people how to do things in the software that you use. Maybe it's how to update your Google site, and you could record a video showing them, you know, click here and on this screen do this and blah, blah, blah. For us, we have a group of people that share the offering counting responsibilities in our church. And each week, a team of people does that, and sometimes there's turnover in that group of people who's responsible for that. So the software we use, Shepherd Staff, I record a little video tutorial, and they can sit and watch for about 2 minutes and have an overview of all the buttons and what order they need to push them in and how to get the offering correctly entered into our software. So it's a picture's worth 1,000 words, and the fact that you can archive it there, they can go back and view it whenever they need a refresher, maybe a month from now before they do the counting duties again and they want to review it, it's worth it.
Mm-hmm. Another one that comes to mind obviously is Final Web. A lot of our churches do that. And if you are the person responsible for supporting that effort, and maybe you're teaching staff, you want them to be able to update their pages or add calendar items or whatever, you could easily create a quick video as to how to do many things, you know, through that particular tool as well.
That's right. All right, let's shift gears then and talk about ministry uses in the classroom. For our teachers that are listening, Gene is a fantastic tool for flipping your classroom. That's mm-hmm. kind of a trendy thing these days, but basically allowing a teacher to record their lecture,
right,
the lesson part of their class, and allow the students to watch it in advance of the class time so that the classroom time is spent on more hands-on application of the lesson. And certainly you could bring up a PowerPoint on your screen and narrate and record yourself doing a PowerPoint, or using some other whiteboard kind of software where you're drawing on the screen and explaining maybe a math problem or something like that. Kind of brings to mind that whole website we've talked about in the past, Martin, called Khan Academy.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's exactly what Salman Khan does, is he records himself talking and demonstrating things on a whiteboard kind of environment.
Right.
So, and you could do the same thing. There's sites out there like dabbleboard.com that you could use. Sal Khan mentioned that he uses cosketch.com, mm-hmm. which is an online whiteboard creation
yep,
tool.
And drawing so, math equations or illustrating different science topics, all those kinds of things are, you know, kind of tailor-made for that. And, you know, quick five-minute videos on a number of different topics or themes would, I think, work well in a flipped classroom setting. If you wanted to kind of take it to the next level, maybe you want to consider something like Camtasia, or there are other open-source things that'll record more than 5 minutes. But I think to get started, Jing is a perfect fit for that.
Absolutely. And if any of our listeners are starting their own Khan Academy / Wells, we'd love to hear about it if you're building up a video library like that. That's mm-hmm. a pretty cool project.
That would be
all
awesome.
Right.
Yeah.
Ministry use number four is also classroom specific, and it's kind of shifting from having the teacher use Jing to allowing the students to use Jing.
Yeah, so perfect.
Teach them the Jing tool, and then the next time they have a book report to do or want to demonstrate a concept or whatever it may be, allow them to use Jing and create a video to do their report or whatever. Mm-hmm. I think you'll have some really enthusiastic students.
Yeah, and that in turn could be shared with parents, grandparents, you know, other students, whatever. They think that's a great application. Mm-hmm. I think they'd love to do it too.
And then the last one has a lot of different applications. I didn't want to use the same word you did, but I'm kind of tongue-tied this morning, apparently. That vacation
just getting
really
back
got
in
to
the
me.
Groove, yes.
Anyway, a lot of different ways you can make use of ministry use number five, and that's just to do plain old text support. Someone asks you a question, and instead of having to type out a 3-page memo to them explaining the intricacies of how to manipulate the website or the software that they're struggling with, you just record a quick video and answer their question in that way.
Yep.
Maybe you're the techie who supports your teaching staff and you need to share some instructions with them.
Mm-hmm.
Or perhaps your mom is down in Mississippi and you want to
family
help her
tech
with
support.
Her computer.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, if you're a techie in any way, shape, or form, if you're listening to this podcast, someone's looking at you as the expert
yep.
who knows a lot more than them about tech. And so having a tool like Jing in your back pocket to be able to do a quick video and send them a link saves you a lot of time and gives them a very valuable resource that they can watch over and over again if they need
That's
to learn
thing,
how to
right?
do it.
And because the question doesn't get asked just once, because you get the same question like, how do you do that again 6 months later? And
sure.
then you can say, hey, remember the video? Here's the link. So
exactly.
Perfect. Okay.
If five ministry uses weren't enough, TechSmith has a page of kind of like case studies on their website as well. So you may want to check that out. We'll have a link in our show notes to other uses of Jing.
Mm-hmm.
Give you more ideas.
Nice. I like Jing. Jing is
a nice tool. Showcase.
Good start. A free product that really works well. It's a professional product, so don't let the free price tag fool you. So nice job, Sally.
Thank you, sir.
Let's move on to our picks of the week.
And my pick of the week is a really exciting site that I found recently. It is called freebibleimages.org. And this is just a group of guys that got together and started putting out images. They're actually photographing people in costumes and putting them in front of a green screen so that they can add in some backgrounds that are appropriate for biblical type settings. And so some really well done photography. And what's nice about it is it's available for use for ministry settings for free. There's an option to donate if you want to help fund the development. But basically, it's a group of guys that are Christians in England who have these skills, wanted to come up with better imagery because they had the capability of doing this. They took this on as a project. So they're always building more They're kind of working in terms of stories. So the images are around a particular story, like Joseph the dreamer, or a widow feeds Elijah, or the lost coin, or whatever it may be. They have about 8 to 10 stories available so far, and each of the stories has a whole selection of photos. So I'm thinking these would be great for Bible class or catechism kind of usage, maybe teachers in the classroom setting who want to just add photos to some of their presentations or things that they're doing. Excellent resources. In addition to the photography, there's also a whole selection of illustrations, again, organized around different stories of the Bible. And again, there's probably about 10 or so of these. Moses in the tabernacle, a lot of Moses stories, Moses in the burning bush, Moses goes to Pharaoh, etc. Noah and the ark is here as well. So the illustrations are well done. And again, the same kind of copyright Creative Commons with attribution applies to these. So I thought it was a good find and hopefully a useful ministry tool.
Absolutely. That it is good to have a nice collection, and you can use some of our 7 best tips for bookmarking some of these sites, because you will want to come back to these time and time again for these resources. My pick is a hardware pick and somewhat related to our software showcase focus this week, and it is a microphone. Obviously, when you use Jing and you're going to narrate, you need a microphone, and you want some good quality. And the microphone that I'm using actually at this moment, and probably you too, Sally, is from Yeti, Y-E-T-I. It's called the Yeti Blue USB microphone. The reason that it is my pick, and I was surprised we hadn't picked this before, is that Yeti recently came out with a more expensive model, and when a company does that, they usually dump the price or drop the price on their former model, which has happened for the Yeti Blue. It used to be about $150. Now you can get it on Amazon for $109, but I just did a quick search on eBay. You can get it for under $90 on eBay.
Wow.
And this is a really solid microphone. First of all, it's heavy, which somewhat suggests its quality, and it's got a number of settings depending on your use. So if you're just doing a podcast, there's kind of a podcast setting called cardioid, which basically takes the audio just from the front. But you have 3 other settings, including stereo, omnidirectional, and bidirectional. So depending on whether you're doing, let's say, a conference call or trying to capture a choir or something like that, this mic really does a nice job. It's got a mute setting, a gain setting. It has a little plug for a headset, which I'm using now as we speak. It's a USB mic, so it's all digital. It comes in digital, and whatever recording device you're going to use, it's getting a real quality sound. And I haven't found, for the price at least, anything that matches this. It's better than kind of the boom mic that you can put on a headset. This is a lot more resistant to background noise. It's very customizable, and I think just a real solid microphone, especially if you're going to be doing any kind of podcasting or recording. Let's say you're recording a transcript from a sermon, recording stuff for a flipped classroom setting, anything that you would use in, kind of a Jing setting or Camtasia, this microphone really gives you nice quality audio and is, certainly more expensive than the stuff that you can pick up in, let's say, Best Buy for a lower cost from Logitech or something like this. But this mic really is a great buy for somebody that needs to record good solid audio. So not very portable, I would say that, but very solid. It doesn't move around, and you don't get that shaking noise that sometimes you'll get with other cheaper mics when you hit your leg against the desk or whatever. So that's the Yeti Blue USB microphone. Sally and I, we've been using it for couple years now, right?
I think so, yeah. And I can speak a voice of experience that Martin can hear me, hear my air condition running if if I have it on. He can hear me type, and so it does pick up well. I have a question for you, though, Martin, put you on the spot a little bit.
Yeah.
Being the non-audio expert of the the pair here. Mm-hmm. Is the USB plug a better connection than that other that other little pointy plug that you can put in your computer for audio?
That's an analog. Yeah, that's an analog connection, right? Yeah, it's absolutely better because it is doing it's doing the translation for you. When you do audio with the regular audio jack, you're going to have to do translation on the software side. So this is actually built into the microphone, so they can build in that technology here. That's kind of why it's so heavy as well. So they've got all that built in. So
awesome.
But great. No, it does a nice job. Usually you want to go USB microphones because then you avoid the electrical and other interference that you might get with an analog connection. That's when you get that hum.
Okay.
Sometimes with a microphone, so the digital connection to the USB connection can handle that for you. So,
well, hopefully I didn't crash anybody's opinion of me as being a techie, cuz I'm really clueless when it comes to audio. So, to learn.
It's a great microphone if you're interested in good quality audio. I mean, you can go higher, of course, and you can get a soundboard and, you know, do all kinds of mixing, but this seems to work just fine for single purposes like this.
Awesome.
Sally, we probably want to remind everybody that we have another series running this summer, not just our software showcase, but we still have our 7 Best going this summer.
That's right. It's a year-long project of ours to make some 7 Best list. And we've looked at Bible study tools, email productivity, bookmarking. Next month in July, we will be focusing on webmaster resources. So for all you church and school webmasters out there, what are the tools that make your life easy? What kind of resources do you use to enhance your website, to add to the professionalism, whatever it may be, to make your life easy, I guess, is the best way to say it. So we'd love to hear from you. Martin and I will certainly throw into the pile our picks of best resources, but we want to make it a community list. So please contact us. Let us know what your favorite webmaster resources are.
Yeah, it can be code things. It can be HTML tools. It can be CSS. It can be image editing tools. Search engine optimization tricks, Google products, you know, whatever it is, we'd love to hear it.
Speaking of
go ahead.
That show will air on the 4th of July, so we'll have a patriotic show that day.
Okay.
So, yeah, let us know.
Yep. And speaking of webmaster resources, we've got some webmaster training coming up, and for those of you that use Final Web, and that is July 9th and 16th for you teachers out there who are interested in getting ramped up on Final Web for the coming school year, how to create a classroom page or an assignments page or get a photo gallery going, that kind of stuff. And then we have a full 3-day of which you could pick any one of the three, beginner, intermediate, and advanced, or all three, kind of our dummies class. And it's really not for dummies, although if you know nothing, we won't call you a dummy. We would welcome you into our midst, and we will use a technology for the first time in this context called Google Hangout. So it's all online training. This is not something that you have to drive to Milwaukee or New Ulm to do like you have had to do in the past. As fun as that might be, here you can sit in the comfort of your office chair or your, you know, the couch at home or wherever you'd like to take the course and join us online. $48.99 a day or $128.99 for all 3 days. bit.ly/FW4 2012 or bit.ly/FW4D2012. It's all in the show notes page if you want to get signed up. You have to sign up soon because registration is closing a week from Sunday or June 24th. So we do have to close the registration, and we only have, in a couple of the classes, we only have a few seats left. We do have a limit in the online training of 10 or 9 seats, 10 including the instructor. So you may want to do that rather quickly. and take advantage of good value and some good online training. So you've got great materials that we're putting together, and we'll be doing some cool stuff. I'm looking forward to the class.
Yeah, I was just thinking, Martin, of the contrast of different ways of doing online training, because a lot of people sign up for online classes and it's kind of a come and go over a period of time, you know, check in whenever is convenient for you, whereas this is going to be real time. We're going to be connected from like 9 in the morning till 4:30 in the afternoon. Mm-hmm. Three intense days in the dummy class and three in a full day on the teacher's class. So not a long commitment, but definitely full days you can expect.
And you will have our undivided attention as we hang out with you for those 3 or 4 days.
Yep.
Shall we move on, Sally, to community feedback? We had a lot of feedback since we had been essentially gone for 2 weeks, so we better get started.
That's right. Starting with some feedback regarding bookmarking, and unfortunately, we didn't get these comments in time to include them in last week's show. We did record early, and they probably sent them in time, but we had already recorded the show. But we heard from Pastor Steve Daly via Google Plus, and he pointed us to SpringPad. Mm-hmm. He says he's been doing a lot of bookmarking with Digo, but it never did fit well into his normal workflow until he came across this updated SpringPad. He says, if you haven't looked at SpringPad in the last 2 months, you need to check it out. They updated their program so it falls somewhere between Pinterest and Evernote. Wow, that's mm-hmm. a great place to be. It says, if you love the visual bookmarking and organizing of Pinterest, you can do that with SpringPad. And if you like to use Evernote to keep notes, to-do list, and project planning, you can do that with SpringPad. What I love is that I can work my bookmarking into my workflow. If I want to find videos, pictures on the web, and other materials for a Bible class, I can create a notebook for that Bible class, collect all of my web links, but also upload scanned documents, write notes and outlines, and make tasks for myself all in the same notebook. Like other bookmarking tools, you can add comments to anything you've uploaded, bookmarked, or written as you continue on in the planning process. No reason to have to link to a video that you forgot 2 weeks later why you bookmarked it in the first place. SpringPad also has a great app for Kindle Fire and other mobile devices, so I can use my notebooks on my mobile device as well. It's also super easy to share a notebook with someone else, like a prospect notebook that I would keep track of follow-ups that are made with prospects each week and month. So we greatly appreciate the insight you gave us, Pastor Daly, into how you use SpringPad. Martin, are you a SpringPad user at all?
I have tried it. It is everywhere, really. It's on every platform. It's on the Chromebook. It's on the Android. It's on the iPhone. And I'm just since I saw Steve's email or comment, I've been playing around with it a little bit more, and it's actually a very nice interface. And I would say it is truly that kind of cross between Pinterest and Evernote. That's a great description, because you can add things in any way that you like. You can add, I don't know if he mentioned it, but you can add audio notes. You can scan barcodes. So while we were just talking here, I scanned my my Yeti Blue microphone barcode, and it went out and found it on Amazon, and with all the images. And then you can tag it with either a heart so that you like it, or that you want it, or that you have it, so that you could create a kind of an inventory of things that you have in all kinds of different formats. You can scan for nearby locations, so nearby restaurants, add photos. Very cool interface. I like it. It's a lot cleaner than and maybe more simpler to use than Evernote. Evernote does a little bit more as far as the desktop is concerned. You can do screen grabs and those kinds of things. But this might meet the needs of some folks who are looking for that all-purpose information gatherer. So, and they've got a nice web interface, too. So when you go online or on your Chromebook or in Chrome, they've got a nice app. So thanks,
Sweet, Steve. Fine. Yeah, thank you very much. We also had a comment from Jimmy Pouts, who says, for bookmarking, I don't use any real service. Instead, I created a microblog style website using the P2 theme for WordPress, and I hosted on a subdomain. I tried Evernote, but it was too complex. What I have now is basic, searchable, and taggable. Plus, I have complete control over the hosting, the privacy, and the content. It works for me. And he sent us a link to his blog where he saves his links. Reminded me a lot of a private Digo, almost your own hosted, right. Taggable linking location. And I like that, you know, you can use it with WordPress. That's basically the platform that he's done. So he has a hosted WordPress site that he set up through WordPress.org, but the same theme for WordPress P2 is available at WordPress.com. So if you just want to go out and create a free WordPress.com blog, apply this theme to it, you can duplicate what Jimmy's done with his blog and basically have your own privatized bookmarking. You lose out on that whole social component, seeing other people's comments about sites and things like that, but maybe that's not a priority for you. Maybe you prefer just your private list. And I love the idea, Jimmy. Thanks very much for sharing a link to your blog.
But technically, you could open this up to comments and such, mm-hmm. so just like a regular blog. So
true.
Cool.
True. All right. There was conversation on the Wells Tech listserv, our email group. Someone asked the question about great bulletin artwork and what resources are used. And we have just a whole slew of resources to share in the show notes. Pitt's Theology Library, Liturgy Training Publications, Church Art Online, and Bible illustrations from Distant Shores Media. So this actually kind of falls along the lines of my pick of the week, and just loads of image resources. You'll want to bookmark them.
Cool.
Yeah. Over on Facebook, Leslie Bergerman shared some blog posts about how Facebook is limiting the posts that you put on your page so that your fans aren't necessarily seeing those in their news feed, their main feed from Facebook. So if you want to read up on that and ideas for encouraging your fans to like your page in such a way that your posts come through to them, there's some technical steps that they can follow to ensure that. Basically, if they visit your page, then more of the things are going to flow through to their newsfeed page. But if they don't frequent your page very often, then they're going to get less and less from you. There's ways that Facebook introduced just right around Memorial Day where you can promote your post, which is basically paying for your post to go into your the people that like you, their news
feed, right?
So you're thinking if they like you, that you're getting your message out to them, that you don't have to work hard to get to those that actually opted into your page. But apparently Facebook is reining back on that. And so, yeah,
that's
not great news.
Yeah, that's confounding. Well, I guess Facebook is trying to encourage discovery. So they don't want you just to sit on your own page and read posts or read wall posts. They want you to go, you know, surf around, discover new things, see more ads, probably.
Right.
And by doing that, if you frequent somebody else's page, then they're going to reward you with, you know, they're going to assume that you're interested in that particular, you know, company or person, and then they're going to feed you more information. So they're trying to kind of do a little bit of predictive analysis of your interests and then shoot that stuff to you. But that's kind of frustrating from my perspective, because one thing I like about Facebook, and I think one good thing about Facebook for churches, is that you can feed what's going on in the church and different church or school related topics into somebody's feed and know that they're going to see it in their regular stream. But now you can't always count on that. So that's too bad.
Right. But on the lighter side, on the good side of Facebook, Martin, you had tagged an article about Facebook allowing page administrators to schedule posts.
Yeah.
This is a good feature.
This is awesome. Yeah. And this is something that I had hoped would come out, because normally when you post something on your wall, on your church's wall or whatever, it's immediate. So if you wanted to advertise an event, let's say, you know, come to summer VBS, whatever, you would have to be very intentional about when you publish that so it wouldn't be so far ahead of it that it wouldn't do any good. So it's appearing in somebody's feed, you know, a month before, or so close to the event that it wouldn't do any good either. Here you can schedule posts now, and I haven't tried this. I'm not sure exactly how it works. I just stumbled across the article. But it allows you to say, post this at this particular time. So you can kind of hopefully stack up your wall posts and distribute them at key times, and even I think times of day, so that they're going to get read perhaps at optimal reading time. So maybe it's 7 o'clock at night when people are, you know, checking Facebook after dinner, whatever. So I think that's a great win as far as being able to schedule posts if they ultimately get through to that person's page. So
yeah, I can see a real immediate use for this for me is that on our church webpage, I often like to post in a timely fashion that we're beginning our live video broadcast, which means I have to be doing Facebook right before time for church, which is not always real convenient. So being able to schedule those posts in advance and have them come out so that people see it in their feed at the right time where they can actually click and get to our video stream would be really useful.
Mm-hmm. Cool. So I think this is a great ad for organizations, especially. I don't find it as useful for individuals. You know, you're posting when you're posting. You're just kind of talking about life events. But for organizations like a church or a school, this is great.
Yeah. And you had one other link that you tagged on, Digo Martin. You want to share with us about Gmail?
Sure. There was a lot of stuff about Gmail coming out. And one of the things is one article that was posted on Mashable is how to get the Gmail address you want. Obviously, with so many people on Gmail, it might be tough if you're just getting into it to find an email address that you want, or you're creating one for a particular purpose or whatever. But this particular article talks you through different topic or different strategies for getting the email address you want, even going down to the, you know, registering your own domain level, which is very inexpensive, so that you could create your own domain, or just getting creative about how you might create an email address that would work well for you. And you know, I think these web email services are popular because you can create an email and keep it forever. It's not like the old days when you were at Charter or Comcast.net or whatever, and every time you change your provider, you had to change your email address and let all your address book people know that, hey, now I've got a new email address. Getting a web address is makes a lot of sense these days, because then you can always forward that email or bring that into whatever email client you want to use. So it's worth the time getting that perfect email address that you'll want to live with for a long time, but sometimes you're challenged because it's already taken. So this article kind of walks you through some options there.
Excellent. All right. Wrapping up the Digo area, I'm happy when school is out, because apparently that means Jason Schmidt has time to share a lot more cool stuff
with us.
Because we had all kinds of Digo links from Jason. Thank you so much, Jason. Starting with a site called PlayFic, it's basically a way to build kind of a little computer game that allows you to write a story and have people work their way through the story. Mm-hmm. I remember these kind of games when computers first showed up.
Right, when you only had text to work with, right?
Exactly. So it's a text-based game. You interact with the world that you're in by walking east, west, north, south, looking up and down, picking up objects, looking in your inventory, all those kind of things. You guys know what I'm talking about. But basically, here's a free website. You can create an account and create your own game along those lines. Mm-hmm. And I could see maybe teachers using this as a way for students to work through a project or whatever.
Write a piece of fiction.
You know, absolutely.
An interactive piece of, you know, fiction. Then mm-hmm. this is the concept behind this is exactly what, you know, the used to spend time at in these, you know, either role playing games or mm-hmm. just walking around these virtual rooms via tech. So it adds to the imagination, and you can I can imagine getting teams of kids together to write these stories, and then others to play them. That's a great tool. It's free, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. And so I'm gonna include a link in the show notes to the main page, playfic.com, and also to their Playfic tutorial. So if mm-hmm. you play through this, they kind of explain it. It gives you a lot better idea of what you could do with the tool.
Yep. Awesome. Thanks, Jason.
Another link from Jason is to the Mathematics Clip Art collection. This is from an education, etc.usf.edu site. I haven't read deep enough to know who's behind this, but there's some amazing clip art tools here for use in mathematics. I could see using these on a smart board or, you know, printing them, including them on worksheets or whatever it may be. They have clocks, they have counting, they have currency, fractions, a lot of geometric shapes, angles, all kinds of mathematical imagery. So check out that link if you're mathematically inclined.
Yeah, this is not only do they have kind of the general, let's say I'm just looking at fractions right now. So I picked fraction, polygons, common, sevenths. So not only do they give you the whole thing divided into seven, you know, parts, but when you click on it, you have all the individual pie shapes so that you could interact with those, like you said, on a smart board or in some other way. You could even print these and cut these out for more elementary purposes if you didn't have access to a smart board. So lots of uses if you're in the mathematics area. So, and all, I think, all totally free. So this is a Florida Center for Instructional Technology is what that stands for. So,
yep.
Cool.
Okay. Next up in Jason's list of items shared is a site called mycutegraphics.com. I love that word cute. My boys are always giving me a hard time for that. This one is really geared toward teachers. This gal that's behind this website has created these, and she has a heart for teachers. She says, I support teachers wholeheartedly in her about section. And basically, you can use these for non-commercial purposes. So they would be great for bulletin boards or backgrounds for scrapbooking or other projects. She suggests that there's also coloring pages and animations for classroom projects, web pages, blogs, scrapbooking, print, and more. So check this out, especially teachers. I might find this useful.
Yep.
Then there was a link to Sophia and the Flip Classroom. I'm not sure about the title of the page, but what I found when I went there was that it is a way to get certified as a flipped classroom teacher. We mentioned flipped classroom concepts earlier in the podcast when we were talking about Jing, basically recording a video of your lecture. And here, certified by Capella University and developed in collaboration with School of Education faculty, you can get certified as a flipped teacher. So I assume they're going to teach you using the Sophia Learning platform to create your own video tutorials.
Mm-hmm.
Looks cool. Interesting.
Cool.
And then finally, Jason shared a link to interactives, and this is just different math, language, and science interactives. I think there's even some history and art related ones as well. It's grade specific, so you can look up things for a particular grade level, and just tools for educators and students, just activities to enhance and improve student skills in a variety of curricular areas. That's how they describe themselves. Looks very interesting. Under science, they've got amusement park physics and DNA and ecology labs and garbage and the periodic table. So once you dig in, then you get these interactives that you can learn about these different topics.
Mm-hmm.
So
cool.
Check it out.
And last but not least, Sally.
Last but not least, our friend Perry Lund tagged a couple of things over on Pinterest. There was an image related to, a video, a YouTube video that he tagged related to Mac updates. And then the other was an article about the Worldwide Developers Conference, which was held just this week.
Apple Worldwide Developers Conference.
Right. Yeah. With updates announced about Apple operating systems and iCloud and that kind of thing. Mm-hmm. So a couple of articles on that.
So don't forget to view our Pinterest or join. Do you join a Pinterest page? Follow a Pinterest page?
I think if you follow, then we can add you
board.
As a collaborator.
It's probably not page. It's probably a board, right?
There you go.
Lots of other ways to get in touch with us if you'd like to share. And we love the community feedback that we get. Obviously, you can go to our website, wellstech.wells.net, and not only look at the great resources that are there that Sally maintains each week, but you can leave a comment. You can also email us, wellstech@wells.net, the old-fashioned way. You can call us, 405-4-WELLS. That's 405-367-9357. Leave us a voicemail, and we'll play it on the air. Twitter, @WellsTech, Facebook.com/WellsTech. Digo, we've mentioned. There's a Wells Tech group that we'd love to have you join. Google Plus, just search for Wells Tech, and you'll find us there. And then the Wells Tech Listserv, we mentioned that on the show today as well. Just go to our show notes page for all of the links in the upper right for all of those ways to get in touch with us.
That's right. Come
Sally,
join the fun.
I don't know that this was such an abbreviated show.
That's all right. We had a lot to share. All good stuff.
Yeah, absolutely. And we're almost done, save the music of Janine Dennis. We're going to play her song, Sheep May Safely Graze. It is the wedding season, and this is definitely one of those wedding songs. You'll know it right away when you hear the first few notes from Janine. Beautiful music. And we're so happy that you joined us, and we would love for you to join us again next week. Thanks, everybody. Bye-bye. Thank you.